So I'm going to start my message a little bit different this morning. I have a dear friend that is with us, and I want him to come up right now. His name is Paul Flores. Paul Flores, come on up, Paul. Don't nag him on. Once he gets started, we won't be able to stop him. So,
bro, there's some very beautiful people here.
Oh, there's beautiful people, bro. There's beautiful, and you're one of them, bro. You're one of them. So Paul Flores is a local, L-O-C-O, not local, a local from Lordsburg. We grew up together and did a lot of crazy things together, and we have, Paul has a really good resume on, or it depends what side of the tracks you're on. He has a very good resume or a very bad resume on doing some very crazy things. We walked with the devil for a lot of years, right? We walked independently of God, and then God did miraculous things. And so it marks a year today, I think, is what you told me.
Yes.
A year. You can put the mic right here, bro. I know you.
Sorry. I'm loud already.
just so people can hear you. But it marks a year today that he actually was in the hospital and was pronounced dead after a life of just craziness. And I want you to tell us a little bit about pre going to the hospital. Where were you at? Well, and tell us a little bit about that.
Well, before I had this heart attack, I wasn't living the best of life. I mean, I was living, but I wasn't living the best of life. I was still doing what I was doing, what I shouldn't be doing, and so forth. So then I had this heart attack, and I flatlined for 6 minutes. And then I was brought back. Thank you, Lord. And then after that, everything just changed, and I was in an induced coma for 2 weeks, so I missed Easter and everything. And then when I woke up, it was just like a whole new world. I was like, what's going on here? And then there was so many people came to see me from all over. I had 1 to 10 people every day come to see me. And it was just, I was just so lit up.
You were overwhelmed with love, huh?
Yeah, just love like in here. Like in here today, I'm just full of love. And ever since then, it's been the same day, same thing every day. Yeah. I got love. I wake up every morning, thank you, Lord. When I go to bed at night, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, what's crazy is, so Paul and myself and my brother, who's a local that that got saved recently, and there's 10 others that are in a group text every morning.
Yeah.
My brother, every morning at 4:30, just about before he goes to work, he sends a text with a scripture, my brother Joy, and that's a miracle in itself. But in that, Paul's response to all the text messages is, I love you, brothers. I love you, and it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a blessed day. And I have to say this as we talk about Paul's life. When I first got saved, gave my life to Jesus, I went to Lordsburg. And another friend of ours, Jimmy Marufo, he says to me, because he was not happy. He was still living in a pretty crazy life himself. And he said, you shouldn't be coming to me. You should be going to people like Paul Flores and your brother Johnny. That's who you should go to. And it wasn't the time for me to go to Paul Flores or Johnny Reese. It was my time to go to other people. And so the Lord was still working his testimony out. He was building a testimony. But God, when he brought you to faith, tell us a little bit about that. How did that happen?
Shoot, man, that's crazy. Well, mainly because, I mean, he brought me to faith because there was so many things happening in our lives during that time. I lost my mother, my sister, and I lost a few brothers. I even lost a brother while I was in the hospital this last year. I lost one of my brothers. But I mean, and then, like I said, just so many things were going wrong, and I just, like, come on, I just, every day I would pray harder and harder, even though I wasn't strong with the Lord yet, and I would just get stronger every day. He would give me faith, like, you can do this, that things are going to happen to you that aren't right at the moment, but in due time, you'll see why they're not going right, because you need to make yourself stronger. So the Lord gave me faith every day, and plus I have a set of twins, one named Hope and one's named Faith, so I have a double dose of faith.
Mm.
And hope.
hope and faith. But there was a moment that you walked away from your life of drugs,
yeah.
and everything else. There's a moment that you walked away from that and you gave your life to Jesus.
Yes. And that was Last year. Like I said, it would be a year today, actually. Like I said, I was down and out. I was dead, and the Lord brought me back. And if you know, when you're given life again, that's faith alone right there.
Amen.
And that's faith right there.
There's a defining moment in all of our lives that you can look back to where Jesus becomes real. It's more than your mom's faith. It's more than your sister's faith. It's more than someone that you, it's more than Jamie Reese's faith. It becomes your faith.
Yes.
And that's what happened to you.
Yes.
Now your family was, there was some brokenness in your family because of some of the choices that you made throughout your life, right? And what's happened since that time?
Well, I'll tell you, because like Jamie, for instance, you know, we go way back and he's here, so he can't be at hometown. But when I go home to Lourdes, to Lordsburg, I mean, people see what has happened to me, and they're like, they see and they're just full of joy seeing what has happened to me. And I'm so full of joy to see them and see that they can see me in a way.
Amen.
And it makes them stronger too.
Yeah, you know? There's hope.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a guy in the Bible, his name is Legion, right? He had a lot of demons. This is Legion number two, right? You're seeing him here, but you don't know him.
You don't know me, the past of me.
Who he was. And so it's amazing the transformation that God does in people's lives. What's going on right now? You're sharing the Lord with a lot of people. I know that when you go to,
you know,
go put the mic up there, bro. I know.
With lots of people. Because every day, like when I go to the store, I run into people and I talk to everybody as it is. But I go to the store and I talk to people and right away, they feel you. And I guess something that I'm doing, maybe there's something that the Lord has given me to go talk to anybody that I want to. And I just feel their love right there. And they're like, are you a Christian? I sure am. Yeah. You know, it just fills me with so much joy and so much love to share my testimonies. And they'll listen to me. And I'm saying, thank you so much for listening to me, because I have a lot to say, but Jamie's not going to leave. He's going to cut me short here in a while.
That's next. That's part two.
Yeah.
That's part two. It's just amazing to see what God's done in your life, bro, and to see that in 1 year, what Jesus can do in a person. You're a different person. I can just see the peace radiate from you,
yeah.
Dude.
Every day.
Yeah. So maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today and you think there's no hope for me, or there's no hope for people in my circle of influence. There's hope.
Can you see me?
And then, yeah, there's hope because of people like Paul Flores. What would you tell someone maybe watching online? There'll be people from Lourdes that are watching. They're watching online. There's people from all over the place that watch.
Say that.
What would you tell them about Jesus and what he can do in your life?
Jesus is so strong. He's so strong. If you gotta want to let Jesus into your life first, and that's the main thing. Let him into your life. Once he's in your life, things will get better. It's not going to happen right away, but things will get better. So we have a lot of friends and relatives that really need help and really need Jesus in their life, and every time I go there, I know for a fact when I talk to them that they see what's happened to me, and it brings them closer to Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. Straight up.
Amen. Do you mind if I pray for someone in here, someone that's watching online, if I pray and maybe they'll open up their heart to Jesus? Can I do that?
Sure.
Okay. You guys okay if I do that? So maybe you're here right now and we're not waiting till the end of the service and you feel far from God. You don't have that peace that Paul is talking about that surpasses all understanding, the hope that is real. That only comes when we make Jesus our Lord and Savior. And so I'm going to pray this prayer. And if this is you, own it for today. If you're watching online, this prayer doesn't save you. It's you putting your faith in Jesus that saves you. Amen? So it's simple. So it's just like this. God, I need you. God, I need you. I'm tired of trying to do life on my own. As we heard Paul's testimony, our life is broken without you. Our families are broken. And so today, Lord, I choose put my faith in Jesus Christ. I choose Jesus today. I ask you, Lord, to come into my life, into my heart, into my mind, begin to change me from the inside out. I choose to follow you from this day forward, and I confess you as my Lord and Savior today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So,
touch good. Me up. stage now?
Good things.
Are you tossing me off the stage?
Yeah,
now?
I'm going to toss you off the stage. Vámonos. Vámonos. So give Paul a big hand.
Thank you, bro. Love you.
Love you more than words can say, bro. I love you more than beans and rice, dude. So, and he dropped the mic. That's what. There's true life change that happens with Jesus Christ. It's more than religion. It's a relationship that we have with the Almighty God, and that's a perfect example of what happens in people's lives. We're finishing up this series that I started titled Experience Joy or Experiencing Joy. And how many of you are walking in the joy of God right now? How many of you can say, you know what, I'm walking in the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord is our strength, right? It's what gets us through the difficult times. It's very real. The Apostle Paul, through this letter that he wrote to the church in Philippi called Philippians, he talks about rejoicing, and again I say rejoice, and all the joy that he was walking in, though he was writing from where? From prison. So his circumstance was not a happy circumstance, but the joy that he had wasn't determined by his circumstance. It was determined by the God that he served. Are you with me? And so we get to the climax, to the end of the letter, and he just had said, last week we learned about this, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the whole thrust of that declaration, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, was that he could be content whether he was abounding and having much or abasing and having little. That's important for us to understand, right? No matter where we're at in life, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, whether we have all these riches or we're walking in what the world would deem poor. But what the world deems poor is not poor with God. In fact, you can be in the most difficult place monetarily and yet be rich in Christ. Amen? And you can have all the monies, all the riches, all the houses, all the things that this world says make you who you are, and you can be poor as poor in your spirit. Amen? So we're going to talk today as we get into the last part, because this is what Paul's going to talk about. It's crazy to me that he finishes with generosity, with the Philippians being generous to him. They were the ones that stood with him financially and helped the ministry to go forward. It's amazing how it ends. And I want to talk to you today about joyful generosity. How many of you are joyful when you give and help put people out? It changes our lives. It changes our hearts when we become, because Christianity and generosity go hand in hand. God so loved the world that he gave. Who did he give? His only begotten son. He gave the best for us so that we would not be poor in the poverty of sin, but be rich in righteousness. He could grow us in the things of God. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 5 through 7, he says this to them. He said, I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready. So he's talking about giving, okay? He's talking to them about giving. But I want that gift, to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. At Living Word Chapel, we try to hold on to this, that it's not about, you giving, and we don't even preach tithing. We preach generosity, and it's between you and God. It's between about you making this relationship with the Lord and saying, Lord, it's worth me giving back to you. The attitude of generosity is throughout the pages of the Bible. And here's what I've come to find out, is that God doesn't need our money. Say amen if you believe that. But he wants to shape our heart. Where our treasure is, that is where our hearts are going to be. Amen? So it has nothing to do with dollars and cents. It has everything to do with our hearts. It has everything to do with how we use the blessings that God has bestowed on us for his glory. And so now we get to the text. The Apostle Paul, almost finishing his letter, he writes this to the church in Philippi, and I think it's fitting for us today. Verse 14, it says, "Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty." We're going to talk about that in a little bit. That's a very important verse right there. "As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Wouldn't you love to be the church of Philippi and for Paul to be talking about you were there and you sent me on my way so I could reach the masses?" It's a beautiful scripture. "Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness." And that's an important scripture to hold on to, right? Paul is saying, I don't need a monetary blessing, but I'll tell you this right now, that you're going to receive a reward for the blessing that you are to my life. Important for you to grab a hold of that as well. "At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts that you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God." That's important right there, that when we give generous, it's a form of worship, and God notices. That's what we see right there. "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." Say amen if you believe that. "Now, all glory to God, our Father, forever and ever. Amen." So I have 6 takeaways that I want to go through quickly that I believe will help us to consider how generosity and walking with Jesus go hand in hand. The first thing is this: joyful generosity enables people to overcome their present difficulties. Paul had just written, this is crazy to me because a lot of people, I mentioned it last week, how a lot of times we quote that scripture, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," but we never quote the verse that goes right after that. And the verse that goes right after, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," is this: "Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty." I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Even so, you have done well to be there for me in this difficulty that I'm going through. In other words, I get by with a little help from my... I don't know about you guys, but I believe that we're better together. I believe that Paul Flores has made my life better as he started walking with Jesus. I believe that every person in here, that when we partner together, we can make a difference in this world. And one of the things that brings a smile to my face is the ability that we have to help people in and through their difficulties of life. I had a mom. We were in Kearney on Wednesday, getting ready for this memorial service that we were going to hold. And I can tell you a lot about that memorial service. I can tell you about my conversation with the family. The daughter came from Washington, the state of Washington, and we had conversations and the difficulty that she had with losing her mom and even with church people, difficulty she had with that. Her mom loved the Lord. She loved the Lord. I have text messages. Here's what you need to know is I never get rid of a text message. Every text message that I have received that's on this phone stays there. And so as soon as her mom died, I went to her text messages to see what she had sent me throughout her life. And what I found about this lady, which I already knew, was she always put everybody's concern ahead of her. She was always praying for other people and never prayed for herself. She was selfless instead of selfish. And so her daughter and I had this conversation. I was able to share how her mom was a Theophilus. She was a lover of God. She loved the Lord, and it radiated out of her. So I'm about to meet with her and her children, and I'm outside getting ready for this meeting. My wife is inside helping me out, and this woman comes to the campus in desperate need. She's in despair. She's troubled, and she said, "Are you the pastor?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "My daughter needs to see a pastor." And so as she's telling me, you know, "Are you going to be here?" She said, a little bit later, "Are you going to be here?" And I said, "Well, actually, I'm meeting with a family, and I'm going to be here for a little bit after that." And she said, I'll go get her. We'll be here in 2 minutes. We'll come right now. My daughter needs to talk to a pastor." So her daughter and her come back. And her daughter has this heaviness on her, oppression on her, despair. Her eyes are glazed over. She couldn't even look at me. She couldn't look at my wife. We went and sat down. She says, 7 years ago, she said, I started doing hard drugs. And I started hearing these voices. These voices started to tell me, we're going to do you good. We're going to help you in life. Great things are going to happen." She said, and through that, these voices became more common. And in the last 3 or 4 months, she said, these voices changed. And they said, "You gave us your soul. You gave us your life. And now we're here to take it." And she began to just get this look in her face. And my wife is funny because after this conversation, she said, "Babe, how'd you feel?" I said, "I prayed. I knew what we were facing." And so she said, "They're here to take my soul." And I said, "Well, here's the deal, young lady." And she had the same name as my wife. "Here's the deal. Only God can take your soul. Jesus said, don't fear him who can kill you. Fear him who can kill you and send your soul either to heaven or to hell." I said, "Today, if you want, ownership's going to change. The ownership that the enemy had on your life is going to change, and it's going to belong to Jesus Christ. But you've got to, today, say, 'Jesus, I need you in my life.'" And she said, "I want to do that so bad." She prayed a prayer to receive Jesus. Just like that prayer that we prayed right now, her whole countenance changed. Her whole face lit up. The presence of the Holy Spirit was so present right there. It was so real. And she cried and laughed like never before. Her mom called us the next day and said she read the whole Gospel of John last night. And she is a different person from one day to the other. That is the power of Jesus Christ. Why am I saying this? Why am I saying this? If we went to Kearney and the Copper Corridor for that one girl, for her to be set free, we've done pretty good. The Apostle Paul was saying that when you're generous, here's what I know for sure, that we're remodeling the landscaping the whole outside. We've done a remodel on the inside. Yesterday at the service, we had people coming up to this church is amazing. Can I tell you, this church, this building doesn't save people, but Jesus does. Are you with me? And that's exactly what generosity does. People don't care. They do not care about how much Bible knowledge you have until they know that you actually care about them through actions. You can quote every Bible passage that you know, and people will resist it until they know that you actually care by your actions. That you're there in the trenches with them. That you stand with them. That you're going to help them from where they're at. There was a missionary. Her name was Amy Carmichael, and Amy Carmichael she left Ireland and went to India to the hurting people there in India. And she made such a difference. You know, books have been written about her, all the good works that God did through her. And she said this, and I think it stands out. She said, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Are you with me? You can give people hand-me-downs. I've witnessed that in Mexico. I'll never forget talking to a missionary in Juarez, Mexico, and that missionary that was there was in the roughest places in Juarez. Anyone heard of the Ciudad de Juarez? Anyone heard about that city? It's on the other side of El Paso. So there's about 750,000 people in El Paso, Texas, and there's about 3 million people in Juarez right next to it. And drug lords and all kinds of people there. They kill people every day. It's just a horrible place. And I'll never forget that the missionary there in Juarez, he said to me, he said, the thing about Americans is they come and they throw money thinking that's going to solve the problem. Money doesn't solve problems. Jesus does. And I want you to think about that with me, beloved, that even with our kids, we're not going to change our kids by giving them more material things. We're going to change them by giving them Jesus. The investment that we've done at the after school program, the investment, do you know that those 21 kids this year, we went from last year to, from 12, I think, 12, 13, 14, to now 21 kids. And those 21 kids, if you were to go into that after school program, you would see and hear that they can recite scripture like this. You can see it. And they're being taught the word of God. Their lives are being changed. I was thinking about them kids the other day because I went and the women are gone, so they said, Pastor, can you help at the after school program? And I said, of course. And I went there and I helped, and I'm the PE teacher. I love that. I can do PE. And so we were playing PE. We're playing. First, I had them do run sprints back and forth, and I had them do leg lifts. You know, and they had to. Good form, make sure you use good form. And they did that. And I had them do karaoke, do this. And they did that. What was I doing? Getting them tired. I'm not a tonto, right? And then I had them do high knees, they were just doing the high knees like this. So they did all that. But then we played kickball. And I won't forget this, we played kickball. How many of you know you just can see the athletes, right? There are about two or three of them. I mean, they're going to be superstars. You can just tell it, athletically, right? And so we did that, and I was, wanting to talk to their parents and say, you know what? You need to nurture this son of yours. You need to, because he's going to do great things for God. He's going to have a platform. And then we went into, they had to do homework. And so I kind of defaulted back to the past, and I said, Cindy, who was helping us, Cindy Macias, she'll do your homework for you. Let's go play out. Let's go play. Just kidding. So this is what scripture says. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. The Philippians were those kinds of people that refreshed others. The Apostle Paul's ministry was better because of their generosity. And can I tell you, Living Word Chapel, let me say something. I'm going to brag on you guys. You're very generous. And that's why God is doing what he's doing through this ministry. Because of generosity. Because you guys, your hearts are in the place where you want God to be magnified. God to be lifted up. Here's a second takeaway on joyful generosity. It's committed. It's committed. Whatever you commit yourself to is going to shape your life and your character. And the Philippians were committed to being generous. Look at what Paul writes. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news, and then I traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Wouldn't it be amazing to be remembered as the church that was committed to helping the Apostle Paul in and through his ministry? He didn't say this to the Corinthian church. He didn't say this to the church in Thessalonica. This is written throughout human history. Every person that reads this book, which has more prints than any other book in the history of all books, because this is God's word, will learn about the Philippians and their generosity. I think that is so amazing. Eugene Peterson in the Message paraphrase put it like this: you Philippians well know how, and you can be sure, I'll never forget it, that when I first left Macedonia province, venturing out with the message, not one church helped me out in the give and take of this work except for you. You were the only one. Individuals that are committed to generosity make churches better. Think about it, beloved. There are churches that are in decline. There are churches that are dying. When we went to the Copper Corridor campus, that church was in decline. But God said, I have a plan. And it's because of the generosity of the people in Oracle, it's because of the generosity of the people that are in this campus, that we're seeing people come to Jesus every week. So, someone told me the other day that walked in, a young person that walked in the church, he came out of a religious system where they have another testament besides the New Testament. They follow a guy by the name of Smith. They dress up real nice and come knocking on your door. He came out of that works religion and gave his life to Jesus, the Savior and Lord of grace, and Jesus plus nothing. That's what generosity does. The third thing about joyful generosity is that it is consistent. It's consistent. Not only is it committed, but it's consistent. Consistency matters in your life. We're all consistent to something. See, Paul Flores, I can say this with wholeheartedly, is that there was a time in Paul's life that he was consistent in distributing things that brought harm to other people. If Paul was to count how much money, how much currency went through your hands, how much currency went through Johnny Reese's hands, we could build 3 or 4 churches. Amen? See, we're all consistent. You look at your bank app, and it'll tell you where your consistency is. What you're doing with what God has bestowed on you. And look at what Paul writes in verse 16. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help. You sent help more than once. How many of you appreciate the more than once people in your life? Not the one and done, not the ones that are there and they help you once, but the ones that are there consistently. Amen? Consistent generosity brings life change in our world. Here's what I'm believing, and here's where we're headed. Living Word Academy, a school, not only an after school program, but a school that forms and shapes people from a young age into grown adults that are going to shape our world for the glory of Jesus Christ. A school. I also foresee a drug rehabilitation from people that have been addicted to substances, whether it be drugs, alcohol, or pornography or whatever, where they're going to be set free through the power of Jesus Christ. I see that. There's a need for it. With a show of hands, anyone been delivered from any drugs or alcohol? Anyone in here been, don't raise your hands, delivered from pornography? Yeah, amen. And so there's these needs that we have, and it's through the generosity that you help people, not just one time. See, here's the thing with this individual, this young lady in Kearney, she'll be there tonight, and I believe that, and we're going to minister to her. It's not one and done. It's not like say a prayer, and then it's all done. We can wash our hands and not worry about it. There's a lot of work to be done. When you've been bound to the enemy for 7 years, there's 7 years that you got to get unbound. There's going to be every day knowing how to recognize the right voice. What I told her is that we all hear voices. I just believe God's voice other than the other voices. All of you have thoughts. All of you have a battle, and your greatest battle is right here in between your ears. If you can win the battle right here, you'll win the battle out here. Are you with me? Look at how Eugene Peterson put it in the Message paraphrase. You Philippians well know that, and you can be sure, I'll never forget it, that when I first left the Macedonian province, venturing out with a message, not one church helped me in the give and take of this work except you. You were the only one. Even while I was in Thessalonica, you helped me out. And not only once, but twice. In other words, they were consistent. Here's the fourth thing of joyful generosity. It is both rewarding and a blessing. Do you want to know why generosity brings joy? It's there. Why does generosity bring joy? Because it's rewarding and a blessing. It's rewarding. God pays you back. And I'm not saying but like God pays you back, he's going to give you more money. That's not what it's. He's going to give you peace that's real. He's going to give you patience. He's going to give you self-control. He's going to give you all the things that you can't buy in this world when you're faithful to what he calls you to be faithful to. When you see lives being changed, there's a blessing that is bestowed on you. It's a wonderful thing for us to witness the hand of God in people's lives. Paul wrote this. He said, I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. You get just as much from giving than from receiving. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That goes against our natural man and woman. Amen? It goes against our very nature, but it's true because God's word says it's true. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Let's read how the Message paraphrase puts it. Not that I am looking for handouts, but I don't want you to experience, but I do want you to experience the blessing that issues from generosity. It makes this statement, you might have said this, I say this all the time, I am blessed. It makes it real. I am blessed by God so that I can be a blessing to others. Say amen if you agree with that. You are blessed by the Lord so that you can be a blessing to others. And the greatest way that you can be a blessing is of giving of your generosity, whether that be your time, whether that be your talent, or whether that be your treasure. I just pan the audience, and I can look at people that have given and been a blessing to Living Word Chapel. Daniel Rodriguez, every piece of concrete that we have in this campus and now at the Copper Corridor campus, Daniel Rodriguez has poured every single one of them. He's a blessing from God. Big hand for Daniel Rodriguez. Just so many of you. I'm just panning the audience, just seeing each one of you. And Dwayne Adams, it's been such a blessing to so many people. Thank you for that. The sign that's going to be out there. It was Dwayne and Mary who said, we need a sign out there. And it's coming. It's coming, so big hand, yeah. Orville and Corrine Peterson. Orville and Corrine Peterson. Words can't even say how much they have blessed Living Word Chapel. Can we give them a big hand? How many of you know that digging holes matter? Robert Guyton. Robert Guyton has done so much, and he's just dug holes this week and didn't hit any pipes. Thank you, Jesus. Hold on, I'm not done. He dug holes, you know for what? To put sails, shade sails, so that the kids, when they go out, they're not going to be burned by the sun. Thank you, Robert, for your faithfulness, bro. Chris Mobley, his craftsmanship with his hand, his cabinetry, and all that God has gifted him with, and bless Living Word Chapel, and bless Pastor James and Shauna in ways that I can't even describe. Thank you, Chris, for your faithfulness, bro. I could go on and on and on with different people here, and here's what I want you to know, that the Lord is pleased when we give of our time, our talent, and our treasure for his glory. It's all about him. It's all about us working together, and everything matters to the Lord. It pleases God when we're generous. Look at the last scripture verse that I want to end with. At the moment, Paul says, the moment I have all I need and more, I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me, with Epaphroditus. These gifts are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. Right? It's pleasing to God. And God notices. And I forgot that I have one more point. The last point, I'll come down and say it. The last point is this. We can never outgive God. We can never outgive God. I say this a lot, that God gives me each breath. And before I come up, you guys don't know this, before I come up, I do this. I receive as much oxygen as I can because it's good for my brain. I breathe in. I say, Lord, thank you. I'm about to be your spokesperson right now. I can't make that breath happen. He does. Everything that I have, my 2012 Dodge Ram with a Hemi, is a gift from God. Right? Everything that I have is a gift from God, but the greatest gift that I have, the greatest thing that I have from God, is the ability to be a blessing to other people. The ability to impact the lives of people through the message of Jesus Christ. Because that message is about the person that can change your life from a drug lord to following the Lord. Are you with me? The hope that we have, beloved, is in the person of Jesus. He breaks the yoke of bondage in our lives and the lives of those people who need the love of God. And that's what it's all about. That's what the church is all about. The church, beloved, is not about buildings. We build buildings and we fix them up and all that. But can I tell you, this is irrelevant to the kingdom. The church is about this person right here whom God has restored. It's about this person right here who said, the Lord said, I'm not done with her yet. She's got to play pickleball with Pastor. I'm not done. I'm not. It's a Dan Danny. He said, the Lord's saying, you know what? I'm not done with Dan yet. I'm gonna heal that Achilles. I'm gonna help him because he's got to play pickleball with Pastor. It's about Kim, his wife, Kim Denny. It's about her. We need Kim because she does Zumba and cumbia, And she does it over here with a bunch of people, and I think it's wonderful. Every time I see Kim, I go like this. I need those people in my life. I need people that are a blessing from God, and I know people need me to be a blessing from God. Here's what I've come to find out, that I've never been able to outgive God. When I talk about generosity, beloved, you can look at the records. Sean and I are very generous. We have, great to see you. We have been blessed by the Lord Almighty. And what I've come to find out is that no matter how much we give, no matter how much we just work to bless others, that God has always continually blessed us more. Because that's who he is. And I'm going to end with this. This is not religion. It's not religion. It's a relationship with Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You don't come to Jesus through a building. You don't come to the Father through a building. You come to the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord. So today, God has spoken through an Hispanic messenger. ¿Y qué? But it doesn't matter who the messenger is. He can speak through a donkey, amen? What matters is that that Savior is talked about, that he can change your life because he's changed mine and Paul's and Chris's and this guy, Danielson, and John Lowe, amen, and Bob, Chris Hill, and Hell, oh my goodness, and Dave, and my brother. I have so many, I could talk until lunchtime, but it's almost lunch. No, it's not, it's early. God is gracious, and he's good. Don't leave today without grabbing a hold of that Savior who came for you. Amen? He came to change your life. He's the only one that can, and I can guarantee it because I'm a product of that. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, that you're present here through the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for changed lives. We thank you that you're still in the miracle working business. You still are doing what only you can do. And so our dependency today is not on ourselves. Our joy does not come from us. We can't produce it. It comes from Jesus, the Lord of glory. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you just flow through this room. Fill the hearts of your people and those that have said yes to you today, Lord God. Hold them and show them how real you are. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said amen and amen. That stand up and worship the King.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come.